Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 27, starting from verse 1.
And David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand.
Now, as you know, that David is a good warrior. He's the one defeated the Goliath. When all the people were saying it's impossible, and he said, in the name of the Lord, I'm going to go and kill him and destroy him. And he did it. But now the same David is afraid of his life. Today he is saying, I cannot live in Israeli place because Saul is looking for me to kill, and there is no safe place for me in Israel. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to run away to the enemy's territory. That is a foolish thing to do, because our God is everywhere. If God doesn't protect you here, he cannot protect you anywhere, because God's protection is there. In the last week we learned, Saul said, I'm sorry, I committed sin, I'm not going to destroy you, please come home, and nothing is going to happen. But the David did not believe. And David thought, this crazy man is not going to change, so I'm going to go to the enemy's territory. And if you remember, first time he went, the same place, same king, and king's servant brought him there, and he says, this is the David. This is the man, the ladies were singing, the Saul killed 1,000 and David killed 10,000. As soon as David heard that, he started acting crazy. He started pulling his bear and salava and knocking at the gate and door and act like crazy. This king said, hey, in my kingdom, there might be so many crazy people. I don't want one more crazy person here. Take him away. And God saved David's life at that particular time. But David didn't learn. He's going back to the same king, and he says, I'm going to stay with you. He's saying, now Saul is my enemy. Israeli people, they are my enemy. I'm going to stay in your army. And so the man thought, maybe he changed, and now he will be with us. Verse 2.
And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife.
Now see what David did? He had 600 people. Now David got two wives. Now he had two wives, means David and his two wives. So each and every person might have wife and children. Now they have 600 warriors, plus their wife and children, David and his two wives, and all of these people coming to this king and saying, we want to stay with you. He convinced the king, and they stayed. I don't know how long they stayed there, but then David starts saying, King, I don't want to live too close to here in your palace. Give me some place far away, somewhere, so I can freely live there and see what happens. Verse 4.
And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?
The king was gracious to him. That place he gave to the David, and he never took it back. That place is still with Israeli people, they said. But at the same time, the news went to the king Saul that David is ran to the enemy's territory. Saul already decided, I'm not going to go and bother him. But now he got a proof that he's not with us. He's with the enemy. So Saul did not bother anymore. And David was freely living in enemy's territory. Verse 6.
Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months.
That king gave him a Ziklag that became a property of Israeli people. David lived with enemy for 1 year and 4 months. But David might be thinking, I'm safe here, but at the same time, he is now cheating the king. But king never found out he's a crooked man. We'll be learning. Let's read verse 8.
And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish.
Now what David is doing, there are some people, they are enemies of Israel, surrounding Egypt and some other areas. They are not in Israel, but they are the enemies of Israeli people. So what David is doing, going and destroying all these villagers, and he will not keep one person alive, and he will destroy everything, take their camel, their donkeys, and money, and treasury, and everything, and all the people are killed and destroyed. Why he was doing that? Because he did not want any person telling the king what the David is doing. And so he started destroying many, many towns and villages and getting rich and shedding innocent blood. I don't think that was God's will. Verse 10.
And Achish said, Whither have ye made a road today? And David said, Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites.
King asked him, Hey David, what did you do today? Did you kill some Israeli people? So he said, Well, yes, I did all killing Israeli people, and he's giving the name of the town and places I'm going and doing. Actually, he was lying. He was not killing Israeli people. He was killing Israel's enemy, actually. But he lied to the king, and he convinced the king that I'm your soldier, and see, not a single army leader in your army doing what I'm doing. Every day is a riot in some village or some town, and people were getting killed. And so the king might be very pleased. Verse 11.
And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, Lest they should tell on us, saying, So did David, and so will his manner, and so will be his manner, all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever.
David is going and killing all kinds of people and not leaving one person alive, and coming and giving report to this king. King is very pleased. King says, you know what? You should be my bodyguard. You should be in my military. You should be with me all the time. And so king was very pleased, and king wanted him to very close to him, protecting him. He thought, in my kingdom, there is none like David. So he wanted to be very close with David. And there the chapter finishes, and we go into 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 1.
And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare, to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men.
The war was started, they gathered together, and now Achish is the king of Philistine calling David and say, Hey David, you have to come with us, and you have to go and kill your own people and destroy all these people, because he's thinking now David is completely transformed and he will help us. And that's what he was depending on David. Verse 2.
And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever.
See what he's trying to say? He said, David says, Well, you know what I can do, so you can depend on me. That means I will go with you and I will kill the Israeli people. But I don't think that David was telling the truth. David was lying in his heart. Anyhow, but this man says, Now you should be bodyguard for me, watching my head. If you would have kept him that way, David would have chopped his head. He did not know what the David was doing crooked things. Verse 3.
Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land.
Samuel is dead. Saul is having problem. But Saul, what he did, he destroyed all the soothsayer, all the people who were doing witchcraft, and killed them and destroyed them, and they were out of the Israeli land. And so there is not a single person can do witchcraft. And that was good. He did a good job. But the people sometime show somebody that I am sold out to God. Now Saul, supposed to be living for God and walking according to the will of God. But now years and years passed. Samuel already told him, Saul, your kingdom is gone and given to your neighbor. Only thing he did not give the David's name. Saul was doing everything to please Samuel. Maybe I'm going to get rid of these witches and all this, so Samuel will be pleased. But Samuel never talked to Saul again. Samuel already dead. Saul never went for his funeral. And now he's having a trouble. Now the enemy is camping around him. And he wants some answer. So he goes to the priests. Urim Thummim doesn't work. No prophet is saying anything. He's not getting any dream or vision. So now Saul is very frustrated. He doesn't know what to do. Now David goes to the Philistine and Saul goes to the witches. Let's read verse 4.
And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gilboa.
Saul is from Geba. So he is keeping his army surrounding him. And the Philistine people are gathered there in front of him. So now he is very scared. So see what he's doing. Verse 5.
And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled.
He got so scared and his heart trembled. The fear can kill you. So this is what happened. David got fear and he went to enemy's territory. He got a fear and now he's going to another enemy's territory. The word of God says, love of God casteth out the fear. When you love the Lord, you don't have to worry about fear because God takes care of you. But once you have fear, then God left you. Fear is against faith. You lost the faith in God. That's where the fear comes. So if God is not answering you, what do you do then? You repent. You ask God to forgive. What the word of God says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Now David got the fear and he go to enemy's place. Saul got the fear and now what he's doing? Verse 6.
And when Saul inquired of the Lord, the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets.
Now here it says he went to God. Now somebody said, what is the fault of Saul? He went to God to ask, he did the right thing. You can go to God and bang your head and bleed to death. God is not going to answer your prayer. What God wants change your heart. Whatever the wrong thing you did, you just confess those sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Saul has to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did wrong thing to Samuel. I did not obey your commandment. And I did all wrong things. And I went to kill your anointed one, David. Could you please forgive me? I want to change my life. God would forgive him. But no change of heart. And he just want answer. God did not answer. He goes to the prophet. Prophet cannot answer. He goes to the priest. Priest cannot answer. And he said, Lord, give me some dream or vision. Nothing happening. So Saul is frustrated. Verse 7.
Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor.
He is telling one of his servants, go and find a woman who does witchcraft. Now he is the one destroy all of these people and send them away. Now he is looking for the witchcraft. The devil can help me if God doesn't help. So servant says, I know one lady. I know her address. I can take you there. Verse 8.
And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee.
Saul disguised, that is a lie itself. You are disguising. You are a king, but now you don't want to be king. You want to disguise yourself. You want to fool other people. And he goes, and he wants to talk to this evil lady. Point I'm making, God made you king, but now you take the king's garment and you take the ordinary person's garment, indirectly, he doesn't want to be king anymore. So what happens? The problem comes. Let's read the words 9.
And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing.
See, the lady is honest. She's saying, you know what? Saul, destroy all these witches, and I don't want to do this witchcraft business anymore because I don't want to get killed. But he says, I promise you by the Lord. Now he is swearing by God. God already left me. But he's thinking, still God loves me, and he's telling the lady, I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to do any harm to you. Just give me some advice. Verse 11.
Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel.
Now this lady is a witchcraft lady, and they just ask somebody's name. Even though he says Samuel, she didn't know that this is a king. And he is asking the Samuel, the priest. She didn't know. So she is just thinking any other Samuel person, maybe his friend, and he wants to talk to him. So now demon, they watch everything. The Satan watch everything what you do, just like they keep the record. I'll give an example. Moses died, and the angels were taking him for burial. Here comes the devil's angels. They say, hey, this is our body. Why they were asking his body? Because they knew Moses made a mistake. He went against God. So he disobeyed God. So now they said, this is our person now. Because he disobeyed God. So he's going to go to hell. So we'll take him. But then the Michael has to come and fight. And then take the Moses body and bury it. And nobody knows yet where the Moses body was buried. Point I'm making here, devil was watching everything what Moses was doing. So he said, Moses is ours. The same way, what Samuel was doing, what Samuel was saying, everything devil was noticing. So now he noticed everything. Now he's trying to play as he is the Samuel. And that's what the evil spirit, they do. When somebody is a sinner and he dies, and they can communicate with that evil spirit. But if you are born again, child of God, and you die, you go to heaven. They cannot pull you from heaven, and devil cannot talk. But the devil will only act like he knows that person. The Bible says devil can even take the form of angel of light and deceive people. So now what here is we are going to read is not true Samuel. This is disguise of Samuel, and he is talking like Samuel, but is not a Samuel. Jesus Christ died, went to Hades, and divided those people to the paradise, and the people who were in hell, they are still in hell. But the religious people were gone. So where he was, he might be near the bosom of Abraham. he might be resting. And so the devil tried to come and try to act like he's real Samuel. So let's read verse 12.
And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul.
His face is covered, means everything is covered. But she thought, this might be the priest, and this might be the Saul, because he's disguising. And she tried to talk to Saul, that you are deceiving me, you are Saul. But Saul did not say, I'm a Saul, I'm a king. But he said, don't worry, I'm not going to kill you. Nobody's going to harm you. Just let me know who the person is. And he started talking to her. Verse 13.
And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth.
Now what the lady saw, she did not see Samuel coming out of it. She said, I saw gods. That's not a real god. If you see the small g, the gods coming. And another Bible translation says, the spirits coming out of the earth. She saw the spirit coming out of the earth, or the spirit gods, the evil god coming out of the earth. That was not Samuel. Verse 14.
And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself.
Now see, Saul thought he is the Samuel. And because she gave the description, but she said, I saw some spirits. I saw some gods. They are not real gods. They are the false god. The demons are gods. Evil people, they worship the idols. The word of God says, actually they are worshiping the Satan, worshiping the devils, because evil spirit comes out of this false god. So she saw the spirit coming. So the devil already deceived the Saul. And now he is going to talk like Samuel. And that's why many Christian people get confused. But I'm going to explain to you later. Okay, verse 15.
And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do.
Now here, the spirit is pretending Samuel, and then he said, Why did you disturb me? That means I was resting. I was having peace. Why did you disturb me? Do you think God is not answering Saul? God will allow Samuel to go and talk to him? No, God will never do that. Only devil does that. But he's acting like real Samuel. But we know devil is what? Liar. St. John chapter 8, verse 44 or so.
You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
See, he is a liar, and he is the father of all liars. And he speaks lie his own. So now the devil is a lying, and he's saying, I was resting, and you called me, and why did you disturb me? And so he said, oh, God doesn't answer me. So he is telling you, if God doesn't answer you, God is your enemy, how can I help you? Please read. Go back to the 1 Samuel chapter 28, 16.
Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David.
Samuel said once or twice to Saul, your kingdom has taken from you and given to your neighbor. But I don't remember telling David's name. But now, devil knows real enemy is David. And he is trying to kill David, and he is going after David. And Saul itself, he says, I know David, you are going to be king. And you are going to be a great king. That was his fear. So now the devil is saying, David will be the king. But Saul understood that David is going to be king. So see what he says. Verse 18.
Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executedst his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day.
Now he is telling the truth. You did not listen to God, and you did not destroy Amalek. That's what's happening now, because God is angry at you. Verse 19.
Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. For the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines.
Here he's saying, here is another key, that this is not the real Samuel. Because he says, tomorrow you will be killed, your sons will be killed, and Philistine people will take Israel in their hand. That's all true. But the wrong thing is this, you and your sons will be coming where I am, with me. The devil is trying to tell him that Saul and his children, they're all coming to me, coming with me tomorrow. Where is the devil? Devil is in hell. Now, just think, wherever the Samuel is, real Samuel, there Saul cannot go. You know why? Because Saul did two mistakes. Once, he's going to the evil spirit. Second thing, what he does, you'll be reading later on. In the battle, he gets wounded, and he asks his servant to kill him. His servant did not kill him, so he took the sword, and he fell on the sword, and he died. He did wrong because the word of God says you cannot kill it. So he killed himself. And when you die in sin without repentance, how are you going to go to heaven where the Samuel is? You cannot go. And Jonathan was a godly man. Jonathan cannot go with Saul. If Saul goes to hell, Jonathan has to go to heaven. Or wait to go to Abraham's bosom. So from that we know the devil did not know who is going to go to heaven and who is going to go to hell. Now he's pretending that I'm a Samuel. But the Samuel cannot say the Saul will coming with me even though he committing sin. It will not happen. Now just think, if God allows you to go to soothsayer and soothsayer tells you what God tells you, that means God is permitting you to go to witches. Then God cannot punish you. When God says in his law, you have to kill all the witches, you don't go to witches, you don't go to demon spirit, then how can God allow you to go and no crime? Even though he talked like Samuel, he acted like Samuel, but is not a real Samuel. Because we have a couple of proofs. The lady said, I see the gods, or I see the spirits coming out of the earth. You remember last time we learned Lazarus died and the angel came and took the Lazarus to the bosom of Abraham. Do you think they took the dead body? No. They took the spirit of Lazarus. Once we die, God gives us spiritual body. And so they took him, and then this rich man died and he was buried. But he was still in hell. So in hell, they have some body. They can feel the pain and suffering, and even though their body is still in a graveyard. The spiritually, that Samuel did not come because he is resting. But the devil takes the form of Samuel and tried to deceive Saul. And Saul really got deceived. Saul just believed that is a Samuel. But the message came that you are going to die and you are going to come with me. So he thought, well, even if I die, Samuel is my enemy now, but I will be friend with him and he is calling me to with him. But actually it didn't happen. Saul went to hell, could not go to Samuel. From that we know this is not a real Samuel. This is the enemy and the devil is disguising. God says you cannot go to witches and you cannot go to soothsayer. Then if God allows the real Samuel to come, then God is giving permission to you and me, go to witches and worship them, and then God's word will be wrong. So this is not God, this is devil. Okay, verse 20.
Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the nights.
Here all the time he says, words of Samuel. So it sounds real, but it's not the words of Samuel, it's the words of demon disguising Samuel. And now he got so afraid. First of all, he was already afraid, and because of fear, he did not eat whole day. He did not eat whole night, and now he is going, and when he heard this message, you're going to die, your sons are going to die, Philistine armies are going to defeat your army, and so he became like a dead man. He fell on the ground, he was so weak, he could not get up. I thought this lady, even though she's serving the demon, but she had a good heart. See what she's saying. Verse 21.
And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way.
Now see, this lady is evil, but she is telling, I put my life in danger. I heard from you. I'm not supposed to do this thing, but I did it. And so now you listen to me. You are so weak and you are so tired. And she thought he might be fainting or dying because he did not eat or drink. He was dehydrated. And so he would have been dead. But the lady says, please eat something. He said, I'm not going to eat. Then his servants and the lady convinced him to eat. Let's read verse 23.
But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants together with the woman compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed.
So he sat on the bed, and the lady is cooking for him. I was thinking that lady was concerned. I don't know, they might have given some money. It's not here. King goes to the soothsayer. He might be giving millions of dollars. So now she got her money and everything, but she didn't want this man to die. So she had one calf, means a cow, young one, small one, fat one. And so she kills that and makes a good, delicious food and takes the flour and makes the bread and everything and feeds the Saul and the servants. Verse 24.
And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night.
The lady cooked the food, gave it to them, they ate it, and they went away. And that's the way the chapter finishes. And now 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse 1. This is a small chapter we're going to finish.
Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Philistines pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, What do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day?
Now, hear the problem now. Armies are gathering, Saul's army in one place, the Philistines' army in another place, and now they are going to have war. Now the people are gathered, and the Achish, or the Philistine king, calls the David. Hey, David, you have 600 people, warriors. Come with us, or join with us, and let's fight the Saul and his army. Now the David is in trouble. But the David acting like he is really, really sold out to Philistine people. And he is going to help the Achish. But somehow, God was so merciful to David. If God would allow David to join with these people, two things would have been happening. David might have killed Philistine armies, or David might have got killed by Saul or his army. But see what happens. Verse 4.
And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master, should it not be with the heads of these men?
Some army officers of Philistine, they start talking to king. Hey, king, why this Hebrew man and his armies are coming with us? This man defected from Saul and came with us, and now we are going to fight his own people. Sometime he might change his mind, and he joined with the Saul, and he will kill us. We don't want him. They are trying to warn the king, but the king is mesmerized. King loves David so much, and he asked David, he said, yeah, I go with you to fight with the Israeli people, and he convinced the king that I'm sold out to you. But the Philistines, lords, officers, or the soldiers, or the people who give him advice, please don't take these people, because David you cannot trust. Let's read a little bit further, verse 5.
Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew with thousands, and David is 10,000s?
Now they're reminding again. Means Israeli girls start singing, Saul killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. This is the man. He is dangerous. We should not take him. But still, the Philistine king loves David so much. Verse 6.
Then Achish called David and said unto him, Surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not.
He says, I didn't find any fault in you. You are a good man. Lord favors thee. He understood. God does not want you to be in my army. So please go away. But still David is resisting. He doesn't want to go away. He wants to go with a Philistine army. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 7.
Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. And David said unto Achish, But what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king?
Now see, David is saying, I didn't do anything wrong to you. Why are you doubting? Even though your people doubt, but you know I'm a good person. I can go with you and I can fight with the Israeli people. But he said, no, because my people are saying, don't come, so please don't come. And he does not allow David and his people to come. I was thinking, this is God's doing, that the David should not go. Otherwise, David and his followers would have been killed. I think he was crookedly thinking, if I go to fight, I will kill the Philistine army and I will join with the Israeli people. That's what those people were thinking. David might be thinking the same thing, but he is deceiving the king. The king says, you know what? I like you, but my army, the people who give me advice, they don't like you, so you go away. See what happens. Verse 9.
And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight, as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, He shall not go up with us to the battle.
You just like an angel of the Lord to me. You are a good man. I trust in you. But my people do not want you to be with us, so you go. So David goes away. Let's read verse 10.
Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning, to return into the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel.
Go before my army sees you. They don't want you to be here, So go away. The David says, okay. And the David went away. And where David goes to Ziklag. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand the will of God. Be with us, sanctify, protect us from all the dangers and harms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.